Well, here in Spain, it's President Frank's partner, Chris McCann, is joining us today. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well, very busy, of course. Well,
Yes,
it's par for the course, I reckon. Anyway, the UK government released its spring budget, did it not, on the 6th of March. And now we've had time to take a close look at it. We're going to ask Chris to summarise the key tax elements for us, particularly for those which affect the British expatriates living here in Spain. Chris, we often talk about the UK's domicile rules and how much they impact UK nationals living abroad. And I see there's a bit of a major announcement here. Can you summarise what will change?
Yes, I think changes in domicile were the star of the show in relation to this particular budget. As widely anticipated, the UK Chancellor announced a significant overhaul in the UK's taxation regime for UK resident non-domiciled individuals, otherwise known as non-DOMs. The existing regime will be abolished, and a new modern, simpler, and I would say fairer residency-based system is going to be introduced. Now, for somebody who is UK resident and non-UK domiciled, they will be taxed on UK income and gains on an arising basis, but on their foreign income and gains, they're only taxed when they are brought to, used or remitted to the UK. The change will be that from the 6th of April 2025, this current remittance basis of taxation will no longer exist. It will be replaced with a new four-year foreign income and gains regime, where individuals who meet the conditions will not pay tax on foreign income and gains arising in the first 4 years after becoming UK tax resident. After 4 years, they will be taxed on foreign income and gains in the normal way.
What about UK inheritance tax itself? Did the budget include any changes here? And are the thresholds still frozen?
Well, as regards UK inheritance tax, domicile is the primary connecting factor when it comes to determining a person's liability to it. The basic rule is that if a person is either UK domiciled or deemed domiciled, they will be potentially subject to UK inheritance tax on their worldwide estate. A person who is neither UK domiciled nor deemed domiciled is generally only liable to UK inheritance tax in respect of the property they own situated in the UK. Again, as regards UK inheritance tax, the government intends moving to a residence-based system from 6th of April 2025. And will consult in due course on the best way to achieve this, including consulting on a 10-year exemption period for new arrivals and a 10-year tail provision for those leaving the UK and becoming non-UK resident. Now, whilst we're still thin on details, the latter point, i.e. the 10-year tail provision, could potentially see thousands of British expatriates living overseas benefit from a significant reduction in their UK inheritance tax bills. The suggestion in the budget paper hints at expats who have lived overseas for 10 years or more being liable for UK IHT on their UK assets only and not on any foreign-based assets. Hence, if this turns out to be the case, for anybody wishing to avoid UK inheritance tax, they will simply need to consider selling their UK properties, UK-based investments, and relocating their wealth outside of the UK. Obviously, for our Spanish resident listeners, this would need to be done very carefully, considering other relevant factors. Hence, why I recommend that before doing anything, listeners speak with one of our suitably qualified advisors. As this would be a very positive development for many British expatriates, if listeners would like to remain updated, can I suggest that they contact one of our local partners or visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, and ask to receive our newsletter called The Wealth News. If anything changes or as things are announced, we will issue updates in relation to this in our Wealth News, which is a bi-monthly newsletter that we send to clients. By the way, we do not send junk mail to clients, so if people sign up to receive the Wealth News, they will not receive a load of other rubbish at the same time.
Nice to know. Many of our listeners still earn some income in the UK. So did the budget include any income tax announcements they need to be aware of?
The Chancellor, he did announce a cut to national insurance contributions worth £10 billion, but I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that households will likely find themselves worse off at the election expected later this year than they were at the start of this Parliament. The Chancellor presented the cuts to national insurance contributions as part of a long-term reform plan to shift the taxation burden away from workers, designed to encourage people back to work. In actual fact, they only mean the government is giving back a portion of the money taken away through other tax changes. The government's earlier policy of freezing tax thresholds means that people are seeing a higher proportion of their salary taken in tax. According to the Institute for Fiscal Studies, or IFS, overall, for every £1 given back to workers by the national insurance cuts, £1.30 will have been taken away due to threshold changes between 2021 and 2024, with this rising to £1.90 from £1.30 in 2027. According to the director of the IFS, the big picture remains much the same. This remains a parliament of record tax rises.
What about capital gains tax?
Well, I think the only change worth mentioning in relation to capital gains tax relates to the taxation of residential property gains, with the higher rate being reduced from 28% to 24%. So for any listeners that have been hanging on to the UK, to a UK property in certain circumstances, because they were concerned about a high capital gains tax bill, maybe it's time to have a think again.
Could you remind listeners about previous income and capital gains tax changes?
I will. Revisiting the Chancellor's previous announcements, he unveiled about £55 billion of stealth tax increases and spending cuts. As regards income tax, he confirmed that the government would freeze the personal allowance and higher rate threshold for an additional 2 years until April 2028, meaning that as people earn more to keep pace with inflation, they could be dragged into a higher tax bracket. Treasury forecasts suggest that this will see some 92,000 people paying income tax for the first time, with an estimated 130,000 taxpayers now moving up to the 40p bracket. He also previously announced that the additional rate threshold of income tax will be reduced from 150,000 to 125,140. That was as of the 6th of April 2023, meaning that those earning more than £125,140 will now be dragged into paying the top rate of income tax of 45%. Finally, as regards capital gains tax, he previously reduced the capital gains tax annual exempt amount from £12,300 to £6,000 from April 2023, decreasing further to £3,000 per tax year from April 2024.
What impact does frozen allowances have?
Well, when we're talking about freezing allowances, what we're in effect talking about are stealth taxes. And as the name suggests, freezing tax thresholds is an under-the-radar way of raking in billions to boost the Treasury's coffers. The freezing of income tax allowances results in what economists call fiscal drag, a term that describes the stealthy process of dragging more people into paying income tax and pushing others into higher tax bands. Traditionally, tax brackets are adjusted to keep pace with inflation, but they've been frozen in cash terms since April 2021. This means that as incomes rise, more low earners are pulled into paying 20% basic rate income tax, and those with earnings closer to 50,000 tip into the higher 40% tax rate. At an individual level, if a person is making £51,000 and receives an annual pay rise of, say, 3% without adjusting personal allowances and thresholds to take into account inflation, they will have paid an additional £8,632 in income tax after 6 years. As far as the government coffers are concerned, the Institute for Fiscal Studies previously mentioned that such moves could raise around £30 billion a year by 2026 because of the impact of higher inflation. As regards inheritance tax thresholds, the nil rate band has been stuck at £325,000 since 2009, and adjusted for inflation, it should have begun this year £102,951 higher than it is now. The residence allowance, meanwhile, was frozen more recently at £175,000 and currently trails prices by around £10,000, with no chance of a thaw until 2028. The result is that a qualifying estate left behind today could incur around £90,000 extra in inheritance tax. And if you consider that the residence nil rate band should have risen in line with property prices, then the difference is around £110,000.
Did the budget include any other tax changes that may be relevant for British expatriates?
Well, as far as British expatriates listeners are concerned, I don't think there was too much else to report on.
With all this in mind, what advice do you have for Spanish residents who hold on to UK investments and property?
Well, Howard, look, for most expatriates who continue to own UK assets, these assets typically remain liable to both UK and Spanish taxes during their lifetimes. However, I think it's important to mention, and for listeners to realise, that most UK taxes are voluntary and can be avoided, and most Spanish taxes can be avoided with suitable planning. As I mentioned previously, expected changes to UK inheritance tax rules may mean that shedding your UK assets can result in significant savings for your heirs upon your deaths. This being the case, I would suggest that any Spanish resident listeners with UK assets do two things. Firstly, stay in contact with us to ensure they remain updated in relation to recent UK tax changes. And secondly, as retaining UK assets could have a significant bearing on your wealth and the wealth of your future generations, it's worth sitting down with a local Blebbins Franks partner to discuss the implications of owning them and consider whether there are suitable options and alternatives.
Do you have any seminars coming up in Spain, Chris, which may touch on these issues as well as provide other tax and financial planning updates?
We do, Howard. It's time to get a pen if listeners are wanting to make a note of these. They can actually visit our website, blebbinsfranks.com, for details. And also about specific topics that they're going to be covering. I will just briefly... We are holding seminars on the Costa Blanca, in Almeria, and in the Balearics. on the Costa Blanca, in Denia on the 9th of April, and in Cartagena on the 16th of April. In Almeria, in Majaca, on the 17th of April. And in the Balearics, in Palma de Mallorca on the 16th of April. And in Menorca on the 17th of April. As I said previously, if listeners would like further details or would like to attend, they should visit our website, blemmingsfranks.com.
Many thanks, Chris. We're talking in a few weeks' time.
Howard, look forward to it. Thank you. Speak soon.